Hello, Phantom fans, and welcome to Ghost Stories, the official podcast of the USHL's Youngstown Phantoms. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Like and subscribe today. This is Season 4, Episode 2, and I'm voice of the Phantoms, Matt Lipsack. Joining me today is the captain from the 2020-2021 Phantoms. He had 40 points in his 80-game USHL career, current Northern Michigan Wildcat, Riley Funk. Riley, great to see you.
It's good to talk to you, Lipper. It just reminded me back in the good old days of being up in the booth with you.
Hey, you know, we're going to touch on that in a little bit, but I got to say, I'm digging the background wallpaper there to your back left. I mean, it screams funk is what it screams to me.
Yeah, you know, it's fun, and it's the kind of guy I am.
All right, so let's get some background on Riley Funk. You're from Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, so just a little bit outside of Winnipeg. Tell us about your junior hockey career before the Youngstown Phantoms.
Yeah, so I grew up in Portage and played actually for my Portage Terriers junior A team there my 18-year-old year. I played at home my whole life, basically, up until I came to Youngstown. So it's when I left home. That was the first time I ever moved out. I drove 5 minutes to the rink for every single home game in my life. So it was like a world of difference. But I've always dreamt of being like a Portage Terrier, which was obviously low dreams, like compared to where I am now and what I had accomplished and have accomplished and what I want to accomplish. But I did get to achieve that, and that's just as a kid in Portage, you wanna play for the Terriers. And you grow up as a little Portage Terrier, minor hockey, and then you just keep going. And I got to play in front of the home crowd and win a championship there. So that was kind of the stepping stone to getting to Youngstown the year before Patty reached out and drafted me.
So, yeah, you mentioned you won the MJHL title in 2019 with the Terriers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a crazy season. The year before, I was with the Terriers, and I got sent down to my midget team, which obviously you never want to get sent down. But it was kind of an eye-opener for me, and I kind of learned how to play hockey just a little bit. I got my confidence, and I came in the next season and had a heck of a year. I got picked in Canada, went to the prospects game, and then we were a great team who really didn't have high expectations for us because we were supposed to host the Centennial Cup the year following. But we won the league in 7 games at home, and it was a crazy game, actually, game 7, because we were up with about a minute to go in there. The play is in our end. And the thing is, when you're about to win a championship, which I know you feel that now, like the scratches and the players who aren't playing and the injured players come down to the bench in their gear and their jerseys to celebrate. And I remember looking over my shoulder, and I see them, and I'm like, oh my God, they're there. And I just think in my head, dude, and then about 17 seconds left in the game, I think you don't get a puck out, and it goes back, and their star player is sitting in front of the net alone, and the puck bounces right on his tape. He makes a nice move and puts it in to tie the game up in game 7 in our
ball.
Just shocks us with 15 seconds left in the game to tie it and send it to overtime in game 7. Like, he sellied from our net all the way to his net. And like, it was like the rink drop, a sold out crowd, and you could hear a pin drop. And then, so you go into the dressing room and you're like, oh my goodness, you just got to reset as best as you can. Cause they've got the momentum, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Everybody thinks like, not many teams win who get scored on with the last couple minutes on a ticket when they're up. Like, they don't win that 9 times out of 10 in overtime. It just doesn't happen because of momentum and because of the hockey world. We came out, and Reese Henry, the guy, blocked a shot, went down end to end, and scored the winner in front of the home crowd, and it's something I'll never forget.
That's awesome. So you come to Youngstown again, first time away from home, and it's got to be, what, 1,000, 1,500 miles from about Winnipeg?
It's about a 24-hour drive, I would say.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a hike. Like, the furthest team in the USHL from where I am by far. Uh-huh. And I just, like, remember going into the draft, like, knew I was had a good chance of getting drafted in the USHL. And, like, it was very new to me, like, everything, just the American hockey kind of landscape and how it all worked. But I knew there was a chance, and I was like, there's no way, like, team way up the draft, right? And then I remember Patty reaching out, and then draft day, getting a call from him after he drafted me, and it was like, okay, like, this is the place. This is sick. Like, let's get started.
So you start your USHL career with 5 goals in your first 15 games. You're doing okay, but then – man, a long time before the next goal. In fact, I think I have it at 29 games. How rough was that to go through? There's some growing pains there.
Oh, for sure. Like, you know what? I think I came in hot and came in with and really innocence almost. Just played and I think I started off really good with Cooney and Owen. We were on fire. Even after those, like, first few games when I was scoring, I was still putting up points. But just with them working, but I couldn't put the puck in the net. And I remember just, like, changing everything, like, every single thing you could imagine, superstitious wise, like, you name it. And I tried to mix it up because I was full and I couldn't get a goal. And I remember, I do remember the goal I scored. I think it was in Des Moines. And I was playing in a line with John Beaton and Jan Kern and a little pass out front to me. And I went low block. And, it was quite a stretch without a goal.
How'd that feel, getting that monkey off?
Oh my God, I threw the monkey off pretty far. We're back near anybody on our bench. But no, I felt good. And I think after that happened, I started playing my game again because I think I went off a little bit of a cold spell. Just in general, whether it was I had a hot start and people have hot starts, you cool off a little bit. But I wasn't playing the way I wanted to play the game, and I obviously needed to mature a lot. Ever since then, I've matured quite a bit in my game and just how I think of the game. But, like, I remember just finally I settled in a little bit back after that, just started playing good hockey again. So that was it was important to get it.
So, I mean, you even ended the season on a 3-game goal scoring streak, but then March 13th, 2020 rolls around and everything shuts down.
It was a crazy time. I mean, we were supposed to actually my worst like memory about it was the following weekend. We had a home series against the Butte that got canceled as they were practicing.
Yep.
And we were supposed to travel to Fargo.
Yep. Right?
In Fargo, and that would have been like a home game for me. Like, mm-hmm. So close to home. Only a few hours, and tons of people were planning to come down. So it was like, I was really looking forward to that. As you said, I was on a 3-game goal streak, like buzzing around, feeling good about myself. And then that just happened. So a couple bummers, and then we hit the whole pause on life, basically.
Was it hard getting home, or were they pretty easy to let you get back across?
If I remember, it wasn't like that was easier compared to like a year later getting across places, because nobody really knew what it was. So like, everybody was scrambling. Everybody was trying to get home. We still beat that kind of rush. I think I beat it by like 2 days before they shut down like the borders to like test and everything like that. But I do remember it was just me and Beats staying in Y-Town. Everybody else went home because everybody else could go home other than like the Europeans, like Merck.
Uh-huh. But
everybody else went home. So it was me and Beats in Y-Town just chilling, hanging out. And then we finally got like, yeah, it's going to get but my billets were pretty good about it, and they just hung out with us as knee beats, and it was a good time.
So they finally decide, you know, okay, we're going to try to start the 2021 season, and you were chosen captain. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I came in, you know, you want to be captain. Like, as a leader, I feel like I'm a leader, and you want that kind of thing to help the younger guys and help set a good example. But it was never really a thought I had coming into the season because I remember finishing that previous season with a lot I wanted to get better at, and I wanted to just improve myself so I could set myself up for the future. And then when we voted and Patty said I was captain, it was just such an honor. Like, I really appreciated that the guys trusted that in me, and I wanted to set just the best example for them.
So 20 games into that season, unfortunately, you got hurt and you missed a month. How hard was that? being the captain, being unable to help your team on the ice when things were going obviously pretty tough. The team was 1-6-3 while you were out.
Yeah, it wasn't I think that year in a whole was just a tough year. That was the COVID year, right? And we had guys missing every weekend. And like man games lost for us. I think we would have been close to the top of the league with injuries and just COVID putting guys in isolation. So then we start kind of January, and I thought we kind of got rolling before I got hurt there. And like I started feeling good with Jack Malone and Cole Birch and just a couple guys here and there. We were starting to fit in. And then I remember getting hurt behind the boards, and just twisting that ankle, trying to stand back up on it to get back to the bench, and just falling over blatantly. And I was like, oh my God, like I've never felt anything like that before in my life because I've never been injured prior to that. And and I missed a month. And then I tried coming back. Probably shouldn't have came back because I think I played a few games. Then I was out again. And then I just stayed out until the last weekend of the year because I wanted to play my last weekend of junior in Y-Town. And yeah, not a ideal way to kind of finish off your junior career. Especially as captain, you're just sitting there wanting to, you're there every day around the guys and you want to help out and give some words of advice. But if you're not playing, you're not doing it with them, it's a lot harder to kind of give that and be there. So it was just kind of doing what I could.
So yeah, you missed actually the entire month of February. Came back, played a few games in March, and then like you said, ended up going back on the shelf. But April the 15th, you and me got to jump on the broadcast together. And Riley, honestly, I got to say, you're probably the best color man I've ever worked with.
Hey, I mean, I appreciate that. It was a blast. I loved it.
It seems like you really have a passion for broadcasting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I years ago, when I was like 16, 17, I worked at the local radio station up in Portage for a summer, a little summer broadcasting job. I just find it fun. I always watched Ron Lane on TV, like Ward Miller, Ray Ferraro. I always found them very like fun and enthusiastic to watch and listen to. So I kind of like doing it. I got the opportunity. You texted me, I think, and said, hey, seat's open. There's a mic for you if you want. I said, screw it. Like, let's go have some fun. And I think we won that game.
Actually, I think it was a 5-4 overtime loss to the Steel.
Overtime loss. You're right, to the Steel.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, it would have been a little cherry on top if we won that.
There were a lot of overtime losses to the Steel, actually. I think we were 1-7-3 against them that year or something along those lines.
So close, though. And they won the league that year.
They did.
But, like, we beat them at home, and then we'd lose in overtime and lose in overtime and lose in overtime. And I think, like, our record sucked that year. Like, I'll be blatantly honest. Our record was bad. But our games were losing by one every single night or an empty netter. Like, it was, I guess that's just like an excuse, kind of. But it's like, it's not like we were so far and away worse. We had man games lost, and it was just like we'd lose in overtime and get a tough bounce. And you know what, that happens? And that just kind of summed up our COVID year.
And Riley, I'll be perfectly honest with you. That was actually a stat that I would put in the game notes. I think of there were 30 regulation losses, and I think maybe like 9 overtime losses. So obviously overtime losses, those are by one goal. But of the 30 games that were lost in regulation, I want to say 25 of them were by 2 goals or less. So you're right there.
Right, and I just remember like being in a game, and the one thing was we'd be in their end, down by one, whatever, making a play, and they just grab the puck and whip it down, and it'd go into the empty net, and we'd be like, we'd go off after, and obviously you're just like distraught because we just couldn't get one, and then later like that week, it's just like, oh, they'll just throw it in the net just from the far end, make it a 2-goal win. It's like you just can't buy one. It was story of the year, I think.
But I think it does kind of say a lot about the team that was put together that you guys really did. You were in almost every single game all year long.
Yeah, and I guess that's, in a way, you don't love to hear say that, because does it matter if you lose by 1 or 7? No, we lost. So that mentality, it's not a winner's mentality, and we couldn't get it done that year. And I think a lot went wrong. But you know, I know a lot of those guys that were on that team have gone on to have be really successful, like quite a few of them. So I know there was something there, and I think if we had the less injuries and the COVID wasn't a thing, I think it could have been a little bit.
I think you probably play against a few of those guys as well, and not to mention Matias Scholl is somebody that you see quite often up there.
Yes, he's turned into quite a good little goaltender. A little guy who can play. No, I love Scholler. He was a blast to be a teammate with, and every time we run into him, he's always starting for the midget. So he's had a good start this college career. I'd like to say.
And, of course, fresh off a development camp invite from the LA Kings as well. Riley, the fans couldn't do what they do without their Billet families. Tell us a little bit about your Billets and your time in Youngstown is with them.
Yes, the Kumos. I still talk to them to this day all the time. Get texts about we love food. Both all of us love food, so we get texts about food and what they're making on the grill or what I'm making. And, no, I love them so much. They're a second family. That is plain and simple. Ellie and Anthony and the boys treated me like gold. I loved it there. I truly didn't want to leave just because I felt like it was my home. They did anything I ever would have needed and more. And without them, I probably would not be where I am today.
You're listening to Ghost Stories, the official podcast of the USHL's Youngstown fans. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Like and subscribe today as my key light over here to my left has gone out. So I promise I'm not sitting in the dark. Riley, did you get to watch any of the Phantoms playoff games this spring?
I tuned into a few. I knew, obviously, checking in throughout the year, you always look back on what teams you played for, like the Portage Terriers, I played for them in Youngstown. So you always just kind of check in here and there, watch a game when you can. And I remember watching a few playoff games, and then my one kind of memory from that run, I would always, every night I'd just go on Twitter and kind of see the updates because it was like, holy smokes, they're getting there. They might do this thing. First time ever, like, and I'd just say, boy to boys, why tell them, like, to pull this one out? And then I remember watching a Centennial Cup game back home, and my mom and I were texting, like, 20 minutes left, the close one, clincher game, right? And then you guys score, and then we just had it on our phones watching the game that I didn't even care about that was on the ice. And I was just watching you guys on the phone, and it was really cool to just see you guys win that there.
Awesome. Glad you were able to turn in. So early October 2019, your first season in USHL, you committed to Northern Michigan University. You've been there a couple of seasons now. What can you tell me about your time in Marquette?
Yeah, it has not been anything what I've wanted it just because of injuries. Ever since that ankle injury in Y-Town, it's been a little unlucky, I guess you could say. I had a shoulder for the labrum in my right shoulder. So that was about a 9-month recovery. My whole freshman year off the just kind of scrapped. So I got a red shirt year for that. And then this past year I had a ankle issue again, the other ankle actually. And I had surgery on that, kind of fixing up a couple of things there. So I did finish the year this year, which was really good. And I kind of got to play my game again, I think, down the stretch into the playoffs. And injuries are never what you want, obviously. But I do think, like, you got to make the most of it. So I've gotten stronger, a lot stronger, really focused on that, focused on my stride again, getting back into skating this summer. Like, just this is my first summer of being fully healthy in 2 years for sure. So it's just been go, go, go this summer. I'm not taking a break. I want to push myself and give myself the best chance to be a player again and get back to that peak where I know I can be. It's making it happen and staying healthy, doing everything I can to preserve my body and give it what it needs to be successful and come in and be a beast this year.
You mentioned the playoff run last year, and I hate to bring it up, but you guys got so close. Yeah. Losing in overtime in the CCHA championship game to Mini State. What can you tell me about it?
Yeah, it was a heartbreak. That's... You know, it's hard to put into words, and I'm not a guy who who is short on words very
You're
often.
not. You're not.
But it's just like you just I look back and I picture it in my mind looking at the clock, a few minutes left, up 2-0, and you're just thinking like, oh man, can do this. We have worked and worked and we deserve to keep working. Like there's a few minutes left and then a couple bounces, a couple we got two penalties called on us with a couple minutes left, a couple bounces and off the skate and into our own net. It's just like, oh, and then they score the tire and you're just like, oh my God, here we go. Because and as I mentioned to you about my championship back home, they scored 15 seconds left. So I was like, I've been here before, and you know what? We can still win this. We went into the locker room and in the break to before overtime. We're like, we've worked and we won like 13 games in a row down the stretch, I think. And I could be a little off on that, but it was close and around that number. And we were just playing. We hit our stride at the right time. We were buzzing. Like all four lines were playing well. Our like goaltending, D, everything was just hitting it. And we're just like, you know what? Let's just get back to it. We won a game against Bemidji first round in overtime, like a couple minutes in. So we've been there, and we're just like, let's go do it. And then a couple minutes into overtime, just heartbreaking. Not much else to say, really.
How cool was it to being able to get reunited with Coach Peruzzi up there in Marquette, and then Aiden Gallagher coming in from Michigan State last season?
Yeah, I love Peruzzi and Wytown, and then it sucked that he left there my 20-year-old year, and went to Lincoln. And then I remember driving back home after my back the 24-hour drive back home after the year in Youngstown, and Grant just. The coach in Northern called and asked me about him. He was like, "How do you like Bruce?" And I was like, "Love the guy. Like, he's great, and he knows what he's doing, and he's a real good hockey mind." And then next thing you know, they hired him, and I was like, "This is unreal." Like a familiar face going in because I knew nobody going in, so it was like I have somebody and who I can kind of rely on a little bit and lean on and ask questions. And just because you're as a freshman coming in, it's a lot of new things, right? So that was really good coming in with Nick, and he's been amazing. Like you know Nick, he's an outgoing guy who always puts a smile on everybody's face. So no, it's really good having him here. And then I remember getting Galley here this past year, and I didn't know he entered the portal, and then talking with him, and he was like, I loved it. I'm coming there. Like I want to be a part of it. So it was great, and he was huge down the stretch for our team as well.
Is there a defenseman with better facial hair in the CCHA than Aiden Gallagher?
Oh, you know what? No, he's got it pretty good, I'd have to say.
I think he has it.
Yeah, you might be right. But see, when he shaves it sometimes, and he doesn't do himself any favors when he does it.
Are there any like PG-13 Aiden Gallagher stories you're allowed to share with us?
No, he's the same guy, man. He's the same guy as in Wytown. Like, he's a happy-go-lucky dude that comes to the rink and always works his bag off. Like, works his bag off. And he's just a player. And you know what? He toes the line, but he's always good, you know?
It's what we like to hear. What we like to hear. So, what can you tell me about the 2023 NMU Wildcats? What's it gonna? How's it gonna look?
I'm really excited. I think all the guys are really excited. We got a great group coming back. We haven't lost many guys from our previous year, really. Like a lot of our fifth year guys are coming back because they have their COVID year. We didn't know if they were gonna, and we got some transfers coming in and some guys who are gonna take some big steps. Like we want to go back to that dance again, in the CCHA final and get the job done. That's the goal, and that's what I believe is gonna be that mindset.
Northern Michigan will be at Bowling Green over Thanksgiving weekend. The Phantoms are home Friday, November 24th against Team USA. Get over to Slater Ice Arena and see the Wildcats take on the Falcons on November 25th. It's not even 2 hours from Youngstown to Bowling Green. I'm sure Riley would love to see everybody. Jaden Grant plays for Bowling Green. That's a battle of probably two of the top three or four teams in the CCHA this coming year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you never really know because things can happen, and our league's getting a lot better. Like CCHA's added some teams, and like It was a grind all year last year. But I think we finished fourth, and Bowling Green finished third last year, and it's going to be somewhat like that again. We're hoping to be a top spot, and Bowling Green, you can never count them out. They're a player in the league, so I think it'll be a great series.
Riley, thank you so much for joining me on the show, man.
Thanks, Liffer. I loved it.
All right, fans, thank you for tuning into this episode of Ghost Stories. Stay tuned to my Twitter at LipperPXP, just below me on the screen, and we can reveal the next guest. Until next time, sound out. Fade to black.